Now we get the privilege, or I get the privilege to get to introduce. We're blessed today to have from Cleveland, Bethel Cleveland, a team here. But Joel Reichlin's going to come up, and Pastor Joel's part of the Bethel ministry. So Joel's going to share with you. Can we stand up and welcome him, please? Just honor him.
Jesus. You know, I just can't begin to express just what an honor and a privilege it is to be here with you, turning our attention towards the King. You know, He is the reason that we're here. God, I know He's the reason I'm here. Really, He's the dream that we're all looking for, no matter how you paint the picture, no matter how we perceive it or what angle it is, where we come from, Jesus is always the answer. He's always the answer. And He is so faithful to be who He is. And I'm just grateful for that. And I'm grateful for this community and this family. And as I was listening to the prophetic words coming forth, I knew I was in the right place at the right time. And you're going to find out why. You know, the bulk of those words, what I was hearing was love. Love. My team, I asked them, I said, what's the Lord speaking to you? And they said, well, on the way here in the car, the God was speaking to us about love. Love. And the message today is about love. Because He is love. And He is so kind. And He is so amazing that He has already given us multiple kisses from heaven to show us that we're walking with Him. Isn't that amazing? You know, I can't shake this right now, so I'm going to do this first. But does anybody in here have like a ringing in their ears or struggling with deafness in their ears? Let's just raise your hand high, and I'm just going to do this quickly. Holy Spirit, we thank You that You're here. And we just ask that You manifest in healing, and we speak to ringing in your ears. And we say, stop in Jesus' name. I just pray that Your healing and Your miracle power would open up any ears that cannot hear in Jesus' name. Any pressure be released in the name of Jesus, and ringing stop now. Be made well. Jesus. Yeah. And we can talk about that later. I fully expect God to manifest in you. My ear was ringing constantly, and my ears don't ring. And sometimes God speaks through words of knowledge, and you know what? It just stopped. Words of knowledge sometimes manifest, at least for me, in my body. And I know it's not mine. So hallelujah. So I want to start off today's message with a vision that the Lord gave me. Wow, it was so awesome. You know, in 2017, I embarked on a journey, and some things happened in my life that caused me to really press my life and give my life into the deeper things of God, into the heart of God. And for hours, I would worship and pray. My bedroom became, I call it my Garden of Gethsemane. You know, people remember the garden as the place where Jesus sweat blood, but He went there often. And angels ministered to Him, and He spoke to the Father, and He was refreshed, and He would go back. So my bedroom became my garden in that season, and it still is. And in one of those days of hours just before God, I had a vision, and Jesus approached me And there was this beautiful jungle or forest. And there was this huge, magnificent table that was just set with a feast. And he said, Joel, will you come and dine with me? I said, sure. Yeah, I'd love to. So I sat down with him. And he looked at me so intently in my eyes. And he said, Joel. He said, you know, we've been teaching it wrong for so long. And I knew he was being kind by saying we. Right? I'm sure there's more out there. But it was me at the table with him. Right? And I said, well, what's that, Lord? And he said, you know, we've been teaching that we need, that people need to become something in order to have a seat at my table. And he said, it's only when they sit at my table, Joel, that they can become something. And I began to step into this revelation of unconditional love that I never understood before. And I began to see how people that I loved and cared for deeply, I had all these conditions on. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, love is the allure of heaven. Love is the allure of heaven that gives us the courage and the hope to let go of the reins of our life and surrender. Love gives us the courage to surrender. It says, I trust you. I can trust this. I will give my life to it. And when we surrender them to Jesus, we begin to experience the illumination of everlasting life. Love is the allure that leads us to surrender. And it's in the place of surrender when we say, Jesus, it's my life for yours. The Holy Spirit comes in and quickens us, and we illuminate and we awaken to the reality of the King and His kingdom. It's what an amazing process, right? Amazing process. Whew. You know, I realized, like, in thinking about this and the Lord opening this up for me, that it wasn't about how others connect with me. It's about how I connect with them. And that my ability to love you trumped your inability to love me. It was as if I started to take personal responsibility for the love that I have and that I carry. Whether you loved or not was not a condition that I had on my love anymore. It wrecked me. The ultimate way that our personal relationship with Jesus is expressed is through our relationship with each other. You can see Jesus by how we do life together. I mean, 1 John talks about having fellowship with Him and fellowship with one another. Vulnerable connection, right, is an expression of unconditional love. Because when we put our heart on the table, we don't have expectation of what can or can't happen. We just love, and in that place of vulnerability, people have the freedom and the right to choose whether or not they love me or hurt me, but I still choose love. Right? There's a story here. You know, when the love of God rests upon us, right? The love of God rests upon us. Regardless of the war that's raging within me or the world around me, the voices, the prince, the power of the air that's whispering in the airwaves, the things that are not of God in the kingdom of heaven, right? We become more willing to make the risk of connection. So in this environment, the glory of God comes, we meet in the air, and the love of God is clothing us like a blanket. We have a greater chance of taking a risk and saying, I'll love you right now. That's what I'm saying. Because God is love, and when He manifests in a dynamic way, we can't help but love. Right? Learning to connect spirit to spirit with people. So this is important. When we train our teams at Bethel, and I used to be in such a hurry. I would come and speak places, and I would be out the back door. I would pastor people, and I oversaw this rescue mission, and I had so much responsibility, and all of those responsibilities came before you. It was bad news. And I learned that if I would just wait in a moment, and if I would abide in Christ, and that His love would rest upon me, and I had the courage to look you in the eye, then my heart would connect with you, and something would happen in the spirit that would forever change the dynamic of our relationship. It might not just be relationship. It could be a miracle. It could be a powerful impartation that leaves you on the floor where you're caught up into heaven. It could just be a smile that takes you out of a bad moment and into a better place. You know, all things work to the good, right? You know, unconditional love has no strings attached. And I think what happens is in our life, in the way that we've been taught, is that we put strings or conditions on the love that we give and receive, not because we're doing it intentionally, but because we believe that we have to orchestrate it to keep them together. It's like our heart's right, we're just making the wrong choice. So we put all these strings on all these people. And then when it starts to fall apart, we're like, but I loved this person and I cared for this person. What happened in that interaction right there between them and I? So what I realized is that the strings that we have on people are the very things that can pull things apart. I'm going to go into the next part of the message, but I want to do a prophetic act here. Now, can we stand up together? Is that good? Can we do that? I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit must be at work here because I'm normally not this calm. The love and the peace of God is on me. Woo! And I thank Him for that. You don't ever want to appear like we think that we, when it's always Him and He, right? So I want you to think about the conditions. How many of you have the courage to admit that you have conditions on love that you give people? I know I still do. I don't do it on purpose, though. I used to do it on purpose. I used to want to control you to do what I wanted to so we could, but I thought it was okay because I thought that's what everyone did. And I was a pastor. Remember, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Right? But we're growing in faith. We're becoming like Him. And His love is unconditional, 100% all the time. So we're going to do a little activation. I want you, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now about what those conditions are. It could be with your spouse. It could be with someone at work. It could be with people in the church that just kind of rub you the wrong way and you're trying to avoid them when you go around the other side. Right? Vulnerable connection. Right? I want you to take those things. And on the count of three, we're going to do like a Holy Spirit break. It's going to be like a karate chop. And we're going to break the strings. We're going to break the conditions on the love that we not only are willing to give, but also on the love we're willing to receive from people. Can we do this? Are we ready? All right, you got. Make sure you don't karate chop the person in front of you. Please. Okay. This can be fun. Listen, I'll tell you what. When the conditions started to come off of my heart on the love that I was willing to give and receive, something came alive inside of me that I always hoped would be there, but was with me the whole time. Right? So let's do this on the count of three, right? One, two, three. Whoosh! Got the kung fu sounds from our students. Yes, those are the people from Bethel. We might as well get that out there right now. Who are these people in the front, right? All right, we're going to do it again. We ready? One, two, three, whoosh. One more time. One, two, three, whoosh. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, I just stand in agreement with the prophetic act and I just declare over these people right now that every condition in our life and theirs is totally destroyed, totally broken in Jesus' name. Ooh, just receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, you can sit back down. No, just stand back. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. You know, you guys, the reason why this is important when I was younger and I was saved, I loved God and served God to the best of my ability. But the truth is that I was more important than you. I was more important than you. I wanted to be blessed by God. If I met with you, I already had a plan and an agenda of why and what I could get. And I loved you, I just didn't know how. Right? And I had moments, don't get me wrong, I had good moments. I had good moments, but like this is the truth, right? And I'm not willing to oppress the truth at the cost of not being set free. When we learn that we don't have to work for love anymore, but we can live from a place of love, everything changes. Everything starts to change. Man, God, just forgive us. Forgive us. Just put your hands in front of you. God, forgive us for the strings. We're sorry. We know that you pinned that all to the cross. But we're sorry for continuing to do it, even though they're gone. In Jesus' name. When we take time to look at the eyes of Jesus, he inspires to take the time to look into the eyes of one another. The face of Jesus is the doorway to the kingdom. The eyes are the gate. There's such a love connection when we can see his face and we can look at other people in their eyes and they see his face. Hallelujah, right? Hallelujah. When we gain a revelation of his unconditional love, we really start to gain a revelation of loving others unconditionally. Like, listen, guys, you can't be with him and it not happen. You can have a moment with him, but if you are living a life that's hungry to abide in him. Like, I don't spend hours in the presence of the Lord out of religious duty. And right, I do it out of a love relationship and a passionate pursuit to know him and to become like him. So that when I stand up here or I go into Walmart or I'm picking up my daughter from school, they don't see me, they see the King. Because the world doesn't need us, it needs Jesus. And if we would just die and surrender our life and it would be no longer us that live, but Christ that live in us, the world would be a better place. Sickness, disease, depression, drug addiction. I was set free from heroin addiction in 2004 because love came down and rescued me. And Jesus welcomed me to his table as a thief, a liar, an addict. A national drug dealer. So if he loved me, how could I not love you? I know this is stirring some things in people's hearts. And that's okay. All night, last night at the Marked Ones, I felt like this angst in my heart. And I was like, God, what is this? Why am I anxious? He's like, because I'm stretching your heart. I'm taking you to another place. I wasn't comfortable. And I was with my friends. I'm like, all these people are so much more amazing than me. I wasn't beating myself up. I was recognizing Christ in them. And I was like, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for loving me enough to be with people like you. Right? All right. If I could get a musician up here, that would be great. Doesn't matter if it's keys or guitar. Trombone. That was amazing. I loved that. We don't have a trombone at Bethel. We might need one. Come on, I receive it. Lord, speak it to Steve too. I can put in a really good word though. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And just play softly. That'd be awesome. I'm going to read this. Jesus said this. He said, you will know my disciples by this, by the love that they have for one another in the community of heaven and the body of Christ. Doesn't look another way. It just is what it is. We don't come just so we can get. I don't give to you so I can receive. I give to you because I love. Yeah, there are some in the kingdom, it's reciprocal. So everything comes back. Because out of a person's mouth flow the issues of their heart. We just have to listen to what each other are saying and find out where our heart is and know how to pray and know how to love each other better, not to judge or to shun people. Because love covers a multitude of sin. Man, I think sometimes people believe more in the power of sin than they do in the cross and the resurrected King. You know, I feel like I should share this with you. You know how I learned this? I probably heard it a million times before. I just never got it. Those hours that I spent in prayer for that year and a half, it was after my wife went to be with Jesus. I didn't have a choice. It was either run to Him or run back to the world. And it wasn't an option. His love comes so real in that season that it took the broken pieces of my heart and put them back together. You know what He told me? He said, out of the brokenness of your heart, Joel, the oil of my spirit will begin to flow. I was like, Jesus, whatever it takes, whatever I have to do, I can't live that way anymore. Because I realized all the ways that I could have loved her better. And when I started to realize those things that bothered me about her, I was like, God, why couldn't I have just loved that? Teach me to love, God. And then it started translating to the congregation and the people in the congregation. And I was like, oh my God, forgive me because I have not loved your people well. That's what it took for me, but it doesn't have to take that for you. I'm going to read this. We're going to pray and transition the service. We're going to open up the ministry lines and we're going to minister to people. And I want to know about the people whose ears were healed. I just love hearing that stuff. But 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, and I'm reading here from the Passion Translation, and I personally think this is a great devotional translation. I always parallel in my searches. I always do Greek and Hebrew. You know, I encourage you to dig deeply into the scripture at all levels. But this particular scripture in this translation says this. It says, love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous. When blessing comes to someone else, love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds delight in what is, and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Think about that. How often when something goes wrong, do we place judgment on the people who are around us and come into agreement with the prince of the power of the air instead of coming into agreement with heaven that says, my love covers that. There's other things at work here. Humanity wasn't designed by God to be in a fallen condition. We are created in His image, and if we can't see His image, then we have to look into our own heart and say, God, change me because I can't change myself. (Clears throat) Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best in others. Love never takes failure as defeat, and for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. I think that some of us started to believe that if our love was on unconditionally towards someone to say who is living in a lifestyle of homosexuality, that that was approving the sin. But it's not. Me loving you doesn't approve of you being addicted to heroin if you're a heroin addict. But Jesus' love is 100% all the time. And just because we love one another doesn't mean that we have to, that there's nothing we don't need to let go of or that we need to grow. Love is the water. It is the nutrition of the kingdom of heaven. It springs up the wellsprings of everlasting life within us. Jesus said, you'll know my disciples by this, that they love one another, and that out of their hearts, rivers of living water would begin to flow. And wherever the river goes, there's healing and there's life. One of the prophetic words that came out of Marked Ones was that the water is rising in Ohio. I was driving to Bethel last Sunday. The Lord said, the water is rising in Ohio. And where he said, Ezekiel 47, wherever the river goes, Joel, there's life and there's healing. I'm healing the heart of the nation by healing the state of Ohio. Because Ohio is the heart of it all, and all things are possible to those that believe in the state of Ohio. It starts here. It starts with us. Being willing to be vulnerable. Being willing to admit that we don't have the power, but He does. And to take the risk to love each other in the midst of our imperfections, our differences. Man. Hallelujah. Intimacy with Jesus will always lead to intimacy with one another. I know some people that are highly introverted, that are intimate and in love with God and in love with people. Jesus showed the ultimate demonstration of unconditional love in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said yes to God. And he set his face like flint before the cross, and he gave his entire life. He gave his life at the cross. Not only so that the power of sin and death could be destroyed, and that the darkness that we groped around in would be illuminated, but when he rose from the dead and the power of his Spirit came, it empowers us to live like he lived. I love what Todd White says. He said, everyone's DNA, whether they're born again or not born again, has grafted in by God the hungering desire to hear the words, Jesus loves you. Something comes alive in our makeup when we can look at each other and not be afraid of who we are and who they are and say, I love you. Jesus loves you. Love is a catalyst for the power of God. Our connection with God and others is connected to the manifest power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's Christ inside of us, the hope of glory. All creation is groaning for the manifestation of Jesus in you. Jesus in you. Smith Wigglesworth, does anybody know him? Smith Wigglesworth said, love is concentrated power. The heart is the center of strength. We are weak or powerful in proportion to the love that we possess. Yeah. Yeah, and Pastor, whoever you guys are going to have transition the service, they can come up. If you'd like me to do it, I can. But if you want to come up, you can as well. Jesus. The flesh is the veil. This is Hebrews. The flesh is the veil. The heart is the door. And the blood of Jesus is the key. He's unlocking our hearts to Him and His kingdom. It's always been there. It's here now. And it always will be there. Let us walk this out together. Jesus.